What's up, boys? I hope you are having an incredible day. Just a reminder that we drop every Tuesday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and if you're an Amazon Prime member, you can listen to our podcast ad-free on Amazon Music.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode of Bussin' with the Boys, is presented by Barstool Sports.
All right, Riley, 0 for 1. You didn't clap. It's okay, though.
There you go. Go ahead.
You can go ahead.
Yo, hey, I'm fired up, man. The Grandpa's Never Died. I wish Grandpa's Never Died.
Yeah.
I was stoked.
Number one
song. I found that out. I was like, yo.
Why?
Well, because I heard the jam. I heard the tune. I loved it because love my grandpa.
Sure.
R.I.P. Will Compton Sr.
This yours?
But, and you know how I rock that hat. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
That's right.
It's my grandpa's hat. So big grandpa guy. So hearing that song, obviously, huge fan. Probably the best name for a song you can have, too.
It's probably the most stereotypical country song
without a doubt.
Out there. Without
a doubt. But no, I disagree.
To write the most stereotypical country song is probably the goal.
That's got to be it.
I do remember the title I wrote down. Obviously, my granddaddy passed away in February last year. I was in Vegas, found out, got on a plane, flew back to Nashville and drove home. Got to Alabama like 3 a.m. and wrote the title down, Wish Grandpa's Never Died.
Really?
Didn't write it for another couple months, but I didn't want to write just a song about my grandpa, you know what I mean? About like us fishing and doing this and that, whatever. That's kind of been done before. So I just wrote a song that I thought was like, if I was having a conversation with the two of them today, what would they ask me? Like, hey man, what'd you think about traveling the country? How's it been? What would you change about it? This, that, and the other. And that was kind of the thing.
That's unbelievable. You know?
That's awesome.
Sorry to hear about your grandfather. I apologize.
Well, it's, you know, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys are obviously really close. You close with all your family?
Yeah. My whole family lives within about 10 minutes of me in Alabama. So my grandmother, Lola Jean, still lives at the bottom of the hill. My granny, my great grandmother, she was 98, just passed away over Christmas. So, like, I grew up around my whole family, and they had a lot of influence on me, obviously.
Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable. When did you get into country music? So, did you play sports?
I did. I played football, baseball, and basketball all through high school, and then I played football at JSU for my couple years.
Is that Jacksonville State?
Jacksonville State, yeah.
Yeah, he has just a powerhouse out there.
Gamecocks, man.
The Gamecocks.
Yeah, the Gamecocks.
The real Gamecocks.
The best one, too.
Yeah, we were pretty tough, and we were...
what position?
I was a quarterback.
Let's you could go. Sling that piece or what?
I used to could throw it, man, back in the day, yeah.
So football is number one to you. Were you like, I'm going to the NFL?
No.
No, you thought, I'm going to play a little college ball and get out of here?
That was one thing I learned about playing a little college football is there's no shortage of good athletes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something I didn't know about. Like, obviously, we had some decent players in my region when I was in high school, but, like, we got transfers from every Division I school every year. Like, we would get some players in the fall that were high school graduates, and then in the spring we'd get a whole nother team.
Really?
Because we were Division I AA, you didn't have to sit out a year to come to Jacksonville State. So guys that got in trouble or maybe didn't make grades or got injured or whatever it was would transfer to JSU. And that was actually – I was the starting quarterback in 2008, and we signed Ryan Perilou off of LSU's national championship team.
Oh, no way.
It was Matt Flynn's backup, you know. So he was obviously a lot better player than I was, but we had that every year. And that was one thing I picked up was, man, there's just a lot of great players.
Guys come in and out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I always think to myself, because I was a guy that was almost ineligible. I ended up going to the University of Michigan, but I was this close to working construction the rest of my life. Like, yeah. I was no offense to people working construction. That's a hard job.
Same.
But it's like, I always think to myself, like, what about, like, there's got to be so many athletes for one reason or another, whether they get in trouble, don't have the grades, that could easily be, from an athletic standpoint, in the NFL, but that just aren't.
Without a doubt. And the other thing is, and it, you know, it was like linemen. We would have a lineman that wasn't 6'7", he was 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
So you got that, like, Alabama's going to get the cream of the crop, Auburn. You know, we were competing against all those guys in recruiting, but you got guys that are just as good a ball player, but on paper.
Right.
Just didn't have that
a little too short.
350, not 375, you know, whatever it is. So there's a lot of great ball players out there. And, you know, like I said, the injury thing and then the grades and staying out of trouble is another big part of it with all the eyeballs players got on them now. So it's there's a lot of good ball players out there. I did learn that.
Was there some guys that you played with that ultimately played in the NFL? Or
yeah, it was a guy named TJ Heath from Alexandria that ended up going to the NFL. And he was a great ball player. I saw a lot of guys that were like TJ that were great high school players and got to Jacksonville State and became really great ball players.
Really?
You know, and there was a guy named Dwayne Talbert that was a big old boy, played defensive line, and he was a pretty good high school player at Jacksonville with me, got up there and just started working. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing is you don't – a lot of times you don't have those coaches that are really going to push you like mm-hmm. you do in college. Because, I mean, it's a job you don't get paid for when you're playing, unless you're really good.
You're expected to do your shit and then get out of there. Yeah,
exactly right.
When did you get into music?
Right around that time. My granddaddy Buford was a big country music fan. He had an old guitar, and I'd like sit around and play with him. But as far as like doing it and going out and playing in bars, I was in college.
So you were the man then probably at Jacksonville State.
Yeah.
Quarterback. The only thing. Slinging it. Got the guitar.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Late nights at the Southern Draw.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, dude.
Everybody talks like that in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Everybody talks like that down there.
There's this old boy. He's a good D lineman.
Yeah.
Hell, I probably got into it in college.
He's making fun of you. We've been on for 5 minutes. He's already making fun of you.
Hey, I'm complimenting you.
Got to stand up for yourself on this podcast, I guess. We'll throw shade.
Disrespect.
No disrespect.
Don't try to start something.
Yeah, you're
there.
Right. You're right. I'm always trying to stir up Will a little bit. Playing football is such a fun time. And D1AA, didn't have the opportunity. Didn't get recruited D1AA.
But
Didn't have the opportunity to get out there. But, I mean, playing football with the boys is awesome. And being from that area is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, well, that was like a 13th grade for us.
Yeah.
Because I went to Jacksonville High School. So I was right there. I had a couple opportunities to go play baseball at a smaller school here or there. But just playing football in the same city that I grew up in, that was cool.
Your family come to all the games? Sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
I was just gonna say, we played our home high school games in Jacksonville State Stadium for a long time. We didn't have a stadium.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that was home. That Jacksonville State was...
You were definitely the man.
It was cool, man.
Swinging that thing around there, dude. That's awesome.
Where he grew up and everything, too.
Buford, your grandfather's name is Buford?
Buford Green and Lyndon Bonds. Buford and Lola Jean and Lyndon and Nancy.
Dude, that's something out of a movie.
I've got a Frances Higginbotham as an aunt. She called me a while ago earlier.
Frances Higginbotham.
Yeah, for Higginbotham.
that's unbelievable.
Higginbotham, yeah. She called me to make sure the tornado didn't get me.
Yeah, I tell you what. So where do you live around? You don't have to say specifics, but where do you live around Nashville?
Mount Juliet.
Okay, so it went through there, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It was a little bit north of me. It was on the other side of 40 from me, but without giving the exact coordinates.
Were you up last night?
Yeah, I was. I saw the lightning was kind of going crazy, so I went out and was watching for it. Power went out, obviously. My phone wasn't working, so I really didn't – I mean, it's the same issue. A lot of people came in. I guess you didn't really know what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
Power goes out, you don't have one of those little radios or something or a way to keep up with it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little scary.
That stuff's wild. I grew up in Arizona, so there was never a thought of a tornado, and I went to Michigan, said that already. Weird. But they had, like, a couple tornado scares, but never did I ever think it was – a big deal. I say that ignorantly now, knowing that the damage it's caused, but I literally slept through the whole thing, and it landed, you know, 2-3 miles from where I live and started going. But it was just, do you watch The Bachelor?
No.
That's okay. how we were finding out too.
Yeah.
And it was playing the Weather Channel, just basically playing. It's like, well, I don't think it's going to come back.
Yeah. Anymore. We're not going to catch the show tonight.
I'll tell you what,
I know that Bachelor show is ridiculous. Every sense of the word. But damn it, it really gets you going.
Really?
Yeah, it does.
I don't want to watch
it. Do you make fun of it?
The Bachelor? I don't really know anything about it. I mean, I know what the premise is, but I've never watched enough of it to really.
If one of your boys, I apologize. What's
Harrison? If Harrison was on The Bachelor.
If Harrison was like, hey, you want to watch The Bachelor tonight? What would you say?
No.
You make fun of him?
Yeah.
Harrison, you watch it, don't you, Harrison?
Oh, yeah. I'd make fun of Harrison for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's watched it a couple times.
And I was the same way. And I was getting an IV with Taylor. And then the first episode of The Bachelor was playing. And I got involved. I got sucked in.
I can tell by how he's sitting, he watches The Bachelor.
Hell yeah.
I wish he was on this side of the camera. He's got a pink robe on right now.
If people sit like that watching The Bachelor, I'm sitting like this too.
Hey, Harrison, you watch The Bachelor?
I might have been watching last night.
Yeah. He said I might have watched.
Yeah, that's how
he caught
the
storm warnings. But it went off. It went off, and then it was all the storm warnings.
Tornado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and just a quick thing, if you guys want to go help people that have been affected by the tornado, you can go to our website, go to Barstool's website.
Yeah.
Purchase a Nashville Strong t-shirt. All proceeds go to the people that were affected by the tornado.
Yeah.
But, back on The Bachelor, though. All right. You know, so you obviously know who Chase Rice is. I'm sure you guys have met before.
Yeah.
And so there was a, did you hear about the situation of him on The Bachelor?
I saw something about he dated the girls on The Bachelor and then he was on the show or something.
Yeah. And there's been like a couple things back and forth, and I don't want to put words in Chase's mouth because that's not the kind of person I want to be. But I think he said something like they went on like a date and like he didn't want her to go on the show or something like that. And she ended up going on the show. Well, the producers of The Bachelor set up a blind date. Like they said, like they do dates. They do one-on-ones. There's 23 girls and they slowly go down. And then girls get a card with a date. They don't know who's going. So this Victoria girl ends up going on a date. You know exactly what I'm talking about right now, don't you? Yeah.
Look at
you
back there. Like, yeah, let's get to
So these two go on a date and they go to, what's that amusement park in Ohio?
Oh, the one with the
Cedar Point. So they go there. And then there's a private concert with a country singer going there. And this handsome boy with a beard's getting after it. And she's like, holy shit, that's my fucking ex-boyfriend right there.
Yeah. So that's
And so it's they're literally on stage and they're from, me to Alex.
But they did it on purpose.
They did it on purpose.
The Bachelor did, but neither of them knew. Chase nor Victoria. Nobody knew the setup was happening.
Wait, did the Bachelor guy that took her on the date know that they used to
date? They had no idea.
Oh. So she broke it to him at dinner later that day. He's like, I gotta say something. Because he thinks he's the man, like, yo, I know you're loving this.
Yeah.
And they're at dinner later that night and she, starts crying a little bit, real dramatic. And then she's like,
that's awkward.
It is awkward. I was watching.
So wait a minute. I just told you that I didn't want to watch The Bachelor. Now you got me watching it.
You gotta suck in there, dude.
You're gonna watch that by The Bachelor to give me
a little. No, don't watch The Bachelor. They don't support Bust with the Boys yet.
No free shoutouts.
No free shoutouts. But I thought it was such a funny situation. I was sitting there and I texted Chase and I was like, is all this stuff true? I didn't get a text back. I don't know what to think of the whole thing. But I tell you what. I put my wife on that show. She thought I was dumb. She says, this is ridiculous. Why would you put people in this situation? The show's hilarious.
That's kind of how
it happens.
If you
just want to tune off for a little bit, it's awesome. I think it's hilarious. But people are fucked up, man. They do fucked up shit. And when you go, we had a guy who was on The Bachelor. Or The Bachelorette. He won the show. They got engaged. And
so if you win, you get married?
If you win, you get engaged. And you go through the
it's crazy.
And go on Jimmy Fallon, and then I'm sure you write a book or something like that. I don't know. Basically, it's a get popular fast scheme. You know what I'm saying? There's different varieties of celebrity, and I would say that's probably on the lower tier on my list of a reality TV celebrity. But so they break up. He comes on the show and he's telling us that when you go on, you basically sign away your rights. Like they can depict you in any way they want. They can make you look however you want. They can cut a scene where you're looking all mad or maybe just staring off in the distance. And then it shows them showing up just to cause drama on the show.
Oh, I've lived it. Not The Bachelor. I was on a reality show on CMT.
Were you really?
Yeah, it was called Redneck Island.
Redneck Island.
Redneck Island.
I can't believe
The Bachelor?
I can't believe I'm bringing this up. I'm usually like hoping people don't bring
this
up.
We do terrible homework, man. We do great.
Hey, oh, by the way, I'm Riley.
Oh, it's Riley.
I'm country singer.
Nice to meet you. Yeah. Pleasure.
Oh, hey, look, was on Redneck Island 2016.
You were a winner.
Hosted by Stone Cold?
Well, I mean, yeah, if y'all want me to tell the story, I will.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I didn't know if it was important enough to bring up.
Hell yeah, it's important enough to bring up.
I was playing a show at the Floribama. Down on the coast, and some guy comes up during my set, and he's like, "Hey, man, I'm a casting agent for this show on CMT. It's called Redneck Island. You'd be perfect for it." I'm like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." This dude's drunk. Give him my phone number. He calls me from somebody calls me from LA the next Monday. Send over this contract, and it is like very plainly like can portray you in false light, can do this, that, whatever. So I was like very skeptical about doing it. Now, obviously, I was playing country music at the time, so I was like. Well,
what an opportunity.
The problem is I've never seen anybody on a reality show and thought, oh my gosh, look how smart that guy is.
Yeah.
They make everybody look so crazy.
No, I'm with you.
So I'm like,
there's always like, if you watch enough shows, like there's one or two people there, like you're rooting for
them.
It's
just hard to like a lot of people on there because they make you look crazy. They want the drama. That's what makes the show. So I was a little skeptical about doing it, but I figured, man, if they just mention I play and sing and some people watch it.
You just need one person to believe in you, right?
So, I went on the show. I was super boring. I slept most of the time. Mm-hmm. And then one thing about it, if I'd have went on the show when I was about 22, it'd have been all.
Yeah.
But I was like 27, I'm like, I was pretty boring. I kind of got that little bit of craziness out of my system. And everybody just like fought, drank, got hammered. But the competitions were pretty tough, like swimming, kayak, and paddleboard, and like basically fighting in the pit at the end of the thing. So it was pretty serious, but we ended up winning. Me and my partner was Becky, a little girl from Louisiana. And,
You won.
Won, yeah.
You won by sleeping through it.
Slept through it, man. Hibernated.
Hibernated the whole time. Well rested for the finale. Man. That's what bears do. So what's the premise? Yeah, what's the premise of the show?
So that's the other thing. It's not like the real world where you're just in a house.
Is that him right there?
Real world road
rules. That's you on the left?
I'm not on the right, if that's what you mean. I'm not the girl in a bikini on the
right. That's you right there?
That's a great guess,
I'm
Taylor.
Saying you started eating different, man. Like you look a little skinny there. You look a little more buffed up right now.
Well, this is a smaller shirt.
Is it?
I was skinny. I weighed like 175 pounds out of high school.
What are you weighing now?
Yeah, two, maybe, right around two.
I'll tell you what. The boy's been getting after it.
Well, yeah.
I don't mean anything by that. I'm not coming on to you or anything.
Thanks.
Unless you're interested, then we can talk about it, but my wife would be mad.
Okay, let's just hold up.
Is it like real world road rules?
It's like that, yeah. The competition is similar to that, and then they put a bunch of crazy people in a house together. So it's 24 people, 12 guys, 12 girls, and we all compete, and you know, it's the drama's there. But it's just like one thing I saw, because when the show came on after, we'd go sit around and watch it like in my hometown. And that was fun because obviously I was there, but I didn't know what the hell was going to be on the show.
Right.
Because you really don't know how they're going to make you look. So like somebody would say one thing and then it would show me staring off like I'm mad at them. And then they'd walk off and it would show them. But I wasn't even looking at them. Like I was looking at them. You know what I mean? So they can do a lot of stuff with the cameras. And there's cameras everywhere on you 24/7.
Yeah.
And I never thought that you would get used to cameras being around.
Mm-hmm.
But when you wake up on day three and you go in there and you're eating cereal and there's a camera in your face, you finally just get where it's like, you don't even pay attention to
this. This is it. I'd be so worried about making myself look like an asshole in those things. I'd make myself look like an asshole in this thing.
Yeah, you would. You'd be good at it.
You think I'd be all right?
Yeah, you'd be entertaining.
I don't know. I'd probably, because
they'd get to paint you however you
think. Yeah, so that's the thing. I don't think I'd get I could probably get the short end of the stick at the end of the day.
So the other thing was like, we would go film for 3 days and then we would do 3 days worth of interviews. So, you know, when you see them like sitting in front of a screen of some sort and they're like, so this, and they're like commentating their own life.
Yeah.
That's done 3 days after it happened.
Really?
And you got to talk about it like it's happening right then. So I'm like, so I'm walking into the room and this is what I see in that. And I mean, it would take like 3 or 4 hours to go and catch up. She would have a script of like what all happened, you know? And some of them, they would like get drunk before that.
Really?
So they would say like crazier things.
I was always curious about that too, because they're talking about the situation. I'm like, have they watched ahead of time some of their stuff? Are they just
No, but the lady will sit there and ask you, and she'll have a script of everything that's happened and what she wants to talk about. But the other thing is, they like when they asked me to go to the show, they flew me to Atlanta and put me in a hotel with, I assume, everybody else. Took your room key, gave you like $100 per diem a day to get room service, and they would just bring you like a scantron of 1,000 questions, and you'd be like, my dad's a good person, true or false?
Mm-hmm.
The work of a librarian interests me, true or false? Like crazy stuff.
Yeah.
They could have just had one, I'm crazy, true or false?
Yeah.
But they ask a million questions, and it's because they would do like psych evaluations and figure out what your personality was, so they knew that you were going to clash with this person in the house or that.
Really?
Yeah.
What's the hardest thing you had to do on that show? Because it looked like they were like climbing up poles and shit.
You're on stone cold, man.
Fallen. What's that other show? He's got, it's like Skull Island, Ranch.
Broken Skull Ranch. Some men on there like fighting.
Some studs. Dude, they're getting after it and that thing. So this looks fun.
Yeah, but it was tough. Like the finale took several hours and it was literally swimming, kayaking, put a puzzle together. Like this thing right here in the pit is like literally a fight.
Is this when somebody gets eliminated?
It is, yeah.
They lose?
So, if you lose a thing, guy and guy, girl against girl. So, that was me in the yellow.
You win that one?
I did, yeah.
Because he won the whole thing?
Yeah, I won the whole thing. And I'm still alive.
Can you lose things?
You can't lose in the pit.
If you lose in the pit, you're out.
You're out, that's right.
Damn, dude, that's some serious shit. And so, you're around all these people, these guys and girls all the time, people just hooking up left and right?
There was some going on. I didn't watch it or anything. Like,
fair enough.
Yeah.
That'd probably be a little creepy.
I mean, yeah.
So they're thinking, should I go there?
I didn't watch it. You want to go watch them do it? Nah, I'm good. I'm going to go to sleep. They would come get me and be like, Riley, get up. We need some B-roll. Are you doing something? Get up and just go. And I'd go like watch them have a food fight in the living room. Just be like,
man, these guys are crazy. Go back to sleep.
This episode of Bussin' with the Boys is brought to you by Whoop. If you guys don't follow me on IG, you know, if you guys follow me on IG, you guys know I am obsessed with the Whoop and posting some data every now and then. It is honestly the best fitness tracker in the game. It, you know, it allows you, it puts you in an algorithm. and gives you all these personalized insights on performance of your sleep, how recovered your body is, how much stress you put on your body by showing you the strain you put on your body throughout your day, from workouts and normal stressors of life. It's got a little customized journal in there that you can swipe left and right, customize it how you want, answer certain questions, quality of life. Did you take anti-inflammatories? Are you wearing blue light blockers? Did you stretch? Have you meditated? A lot of stuff that like puts all this data in and gives you a score, a ready score, a recovery score every day. Whether you're already in shape or looking towards being healthier, Whoop helps provide actionable insights that are personalized to you. What's great with Whoop, every day you get up, you get the recovery score that I was telling you about based on your HRV, which is your heart rate variability, your resting heart rate, and sleep performance from that previous night that can be used as an indicator to how to approach your day, training, all of it. If, say, you know, you have green recovery, like above, I want to say like 70%, that's a sign that you can have a more intensive workout. But if it's red, there's also yellow, but if it's red, the low one, below like 30, I believe, that's a signal that you might want to take a rest day or an active recovery day, you know, to get your HRV back up, to get your recovery back up. So it's really good shit, man. It even has built-in features like a strength coach, which actually gives you target exertion goals for your workouts optimally for the level of your intensity. If you're not sure what type of training your body is ready for, this is an awesome feature to keep you from overtraining. So on days you get up, you feel like you just feel shitty and you just don't feel right about working out. Like, it's just like, man, it's been a long day. You might not know, but your HRV might be really fucking low. Your recovery might be really low, and your Whoop would tell you that you need to take a recovery day versus like, hey, you know, be tough as shit, get through it. Everybody feels this way. That's true, but also you could be smarter in your training. And based on how strenuous your day is, it has a built-in sleep coach, which actually lets you know how much sleep you should be getting so you can wake up and be recovered based on your performance goals. For our listeners, Whoop is offering 15% off with the code BUSSIN at checkout. Go to Whoop, that is WHOOP.com, and enter BUSSIN at checkout to save 15%. Sleep better, recover faster, train smarter, optimize your performance with the boys and with Whoop.
So you're a big sleeper.
Love it.
Love sleeping.
Big fan, yeah.
Big sleep.
big sleep guy.
You know, my dad
That's a
used
question
to,
right there.
My dad used
hey,
to give
you're
me,
a sleeper, huh? Big sleep guy.
He used yeah. to give me hell when I was like when I dropped out of college and I was doing construction. I would sleep all day and then work a little bit in the afternoon. He'd be like, man, you're just sleeping your life away. But I'm like, I enjoy it.
Yeah, you're living your best life.
I used to set an alarm when I knew I didn't have anything to do so I could get up and have that feeling of going, I can go back to bed.
Really?
Yeah, like that's great. That's the best feeling in the world. You kidding?
That's unbelievable, dude. So did this thing help at all with your music career?
I didn't notice anything directly. I mean, obviously, I'm sure some people found me from that, but when I got back from the show, I just went back to playing clubs, and it was kind of the same thing. It just kept kind of growing gradually, and I started writing songs and putting them out, and people started showing up.
How hard is it to get in the music, to make a splash in the music scene?
It's tough. I mean, with all the things that I've got going on, I still feel like it's a ripple. You know, I mean, and yeah. things have gone really well for me in the last couple of years, but it's a tough business because there's so many people that are great. Yeah. I mean, you can go to any bar you want to in Nashville, a writer's round, and listen to guys play and sing that can sing better than I can.
Yeah.
You know, it's got great songs. It's just, I was really fortunate that I played about every hole in the wall bar there was in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and people were having to watch me because they couldn't go anywhere else and get away from me. So, like, I just got my name out there like that. And, you know, they'd let me drink for free and pay me a couple $100 every once in a while. So that was cool too. And girls seemed to like it.
When you say you got so many things going on, like, what other stuff you're just constantly writing, constantly playing?
Yeah. I mean, writing's one of those things where, you know, you obviously come in town and you schedule writes with other writers and you meet up, but I'm not in town a whole lot. So I'm bringing writers out on the road. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I wrote I Wish Grandpa's Never Died by myself. So I write some songs on my own too, but on tour with Jason Aldean right now, my tour is kind of amongst that. You know, I'm playing a radio show tomorrow in San Antonio. So, I mean, there's just always stuff going on. We had a meeting today about what songs we're going to record. You know, did another radio interview this morning. So there's just a lot of stuff that I had no idea about that's kind of always going on.
That's wild.
And then, like, as you're like getting bigger and it's gradual, does somebody like, what is it, like a label or some company comes in and identifies you and like, hey, he's got something. Like, let's work with him and get him around our people. And you're kind of like, how does that all work? Like as you're growing,
are you talking about like being categorized of what kind of country singer you should be?
No, getting discovered. Yeah, once he gets discovered, are you like, is it you just come along with this management company and then they pretty much put you know their arm around you and you either sign away? How does all that work?
I think it's changed quite a bit because there are so many other ways to find music now because of Spotify. See, I'd put out 25, 30 songs before I ever came to Nashville, but I was just recording them on my own and writing them on my own. And, you know, they weren't great quality, but they were getting me followers. So that was me playing shows and putting out music what helped me get attention of record labels. A lot of people probably have done it in the past differently to where they come to Nashville, meet a manager. I would say getting a booking agent because you're not going to be booked for shows if you're nobody. You know, but a booking agent can leverage somebody else they have on their staff or another artist, say, oh, you want to take out so-and-so, well then why don't you let this person open for them, that kind of thing. So management would be a big part of it, a booking agent, and then beyond that it would be them getting you in front of record labels. You know what I mean? If you're a really talented singer, I would imagine Chris Stapleton could sign with a manager and go sit in front of any label in town and just blow them away with his vocals. I couldn't really do that because I wasn't that kind of singer, but there's a lot of folks that are talented enough to do that kind of thing.
Well, do you feel like how do you feel about the direction country music's going right now? Because it's
I'm having some success.
Yeah,
now,
he's like number one on the charts.
I'm at least number one song.
I'm hopeful. You know, I mean, guys like Luke Combs. I was a big fan of Luke, and he's doing great. And he's definitely got that traditional sound. John Party's got a little bit of it. Yeah. Eric Church, I've always thought was cool, and he can do whatever the heck he wants.
He's got to be the coolest guy out there, right?
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, it's definitely making a swing. I think country music's always done that. It's always got a little, you know, and this was the deal for a while. And the more pop sound was a lot more popular for a while. But I think people are getting to where they're wanting something that's, I mean, look at the Tyler Childers and Sturgill Simpsons and stuff like that, where I don't know that would have went over well 5 years ago, but now it's doing really well, you know, and the fact that I can have any type of career right now is a testament that people are enjoying something about a traditional sound and country again.
Yeah. It's all about what you make it, right? Whatever your version is. I mean, as long as people listen to it, it's going to work.
Yeah. And you know, they got different names. They call it Americana or pop country or traditional country, or whatever, but it's people writing songs and putting out music and, you know, some of it they play on country radio, some of it they play on other stuff.
Yep. No question. I mean, and I'm in Arizona right now, and I'll put on country, like a country station, and it'll be like, I won't hear a guitar the whole time.
Yeah.
It'll just be beats. And then the next song, it'll be like Midland, who plays like that old school, like 80s, like that got that hard twang. They're almost making fun of it. Like they're that close to making fun of it. So, I like the variety that country music brings. We talked to Thomas Rhett a little bit about this, and I have zero musical talent, and my opinion does not matter at all. Trust me. But like,
hey, your vocals are nice.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I can do a D skip more. I think that's about it. But while I was talking about how, like, you know, I don't like the way the direction of country music is going. I don't like all the beats and the pop. And then he kind of brought up the idea of like, well, when Willie Nelson and Haggard and those guys, they were outlaw country, and people were like, well, that's not real country. That's outlaw country. It's a way different. So it's constantly like evolving over and over. And I think one thing is from a popularity standpoint, totally contradicting myself, is going to those beats. Now, you know, guys in the locker room who maybe just listen to rap, like, well, I like that song though. That's a good song. That's kind of transitioning over to where it's hitting a whole new demographic.
Yeah. It's definitely opening up country music to a demographic that probably didn't listen to the country music because of that traditional sound, because of something that was missing in it. And the pop sound that's in country music now is probably opening that door. My thing has always been like, I hate to lose the storytelling part of it. Mm-hmm. That was country music to me. I mean, there's nothing about a George Jones song, 90% of it anyway, that made you want to get up and dance around a locker room.
Right.
But it was something that made you feel a certain way. And it was something that kind of pulled on your heartstrings or whatever it was. So that part of country music, I hate to see us get away from. And what you're saying about listening to the radio and hearing no guitar for 7 songs, that bothers me a little bit. Yeah. I play it. If it's got variety in it, we're doing a little bit of this and that, that's fine because it is going to sway one way or the other. But let's don't turn and run from traditional country music.
Right.
I want it to be sprinkled in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like the blues. The blues have a certain format you have to go by. And country music's not that like put into a box.
No.
But it's definitely, there's a twang that needs to be there. There's that southern draw that needs to be there. There's that classic, you know, talking about getting your heart broken and
that
horses
Jamie Johnson,
and beers.
Baby.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. They asked me at my first ACMs I went to, and I was, of course, nobody at the time, but they asked me about Old Town Road, about if it was a country song. And I'd never heard it. Luckily for me, because I might have had a different opinion, but I said, well, what's it about? And they said, well, it's, you know, a song goes, take my horse to the Old Town Road and
ride till I said, can no more.
I said, well, I think country music's about storytelling. So if the horse is going on some type of journey, then maybe it's a country song. I don't know. I haven't heard it yet, but I listened to it. But that's about the only way I can describe country music plainly is say it's storytelling. That's what country music is to me.
I tell you what, one country song, I have a daughter right now, and the song, I think it's Kenny Chesney's There Goes My Life.
Yeah.
And the transition of being 18 years old and knocking up a girl and like all my life's over. And then she goes to college and I'm sitting there in the car by myself, starting to cry.
Looking
like,
holy
shit. Like, this is, where's my daughter? I need to go find her. You know what I'm saying? It's just, it makes you feel. It definitely makes you feel, man.
It was,
dude, you're a good old boy, like in the best way possible.
Huh? I know, dude. I mess with his like telling stories. Mm-hmm. I rock with that.
Yeah, dude. You tell a good story. It's, especially in music.
How much would you say, since it's like 1500 streams for a buy, how much would you say like Spotify and all these streaming services has changed kind of the landscape of country? Or changed the landscape of music,
I mean,
I guess.
It's completely. Night and day, yeah. I mean, and I came up in an era of burnt CDs. Mm-hmm. I was like, we would go, what is it, BearShare, LimeWire, whatever it was, and we would go
down. Computer aids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A million pop-ups.
Yeah.
But that was how that was what we did. We went and burnt CDs. And I mean, I can remember buying CDs. That was probably when I was 12. Mm-hmm. You know, then it was burnt CDs. And then it was download music to put on your iPod. And now you can literally go on there and you can listen to anything you want anytime. And it's the other side of that that people probably don't realize is as an artist, I could go, or anybody, you could go and write a song and record it tomorrow and put it out and anybody could find it. Mm-hmm. That's pretty crazy. I mean, not to say that if you're nobody, everybody's going to see it, but if you write a great song and it gets in the right hands and gets bounced around a little bit, going viral is a thing, and you can literally do that music.
It's like that.
You can get playlisted on Spotify or Amazon or whatever it is, and you can literally get heard by thousands or millions of people and be a nobody.
Do you like that? You think that's like a positive thing for somebody?
It's got to be. I don't know that I would have signed a record deal if it wasn't for that.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't. I mean, I don't know how many millions of streams that I didn't even know I had before I signed a record deal. That's crazy. I mean, I know a few thousand people in Jacksonville, Alabama, but I didn't know a million people.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just my family doing it. You know, that's somebody found out about me.
Over and over.
Family.
I got a lot of cousins.
Dude, the social media has definitely played a huge part. It probably helps a whole bunch. I mean, I just saw it popped up for a second. What, 332,000 followers? That's a shitload of followers.
I don't know that many people. That's what I'm saying.
No question.
I only know 1,600 people.
You know, 1,600.
I'll be honest with you. I probably don't know 1,600.
You don't think so?
No.
Yeah, you probably don't. I bet you I'm one of those.
Some of them were probably pretty.
Yeah?
That's probably what
I'm saying. Some probably pretty. You got to chase them down. That's a whole new thing, too, dating.
After that Redneck Island.
I tell you, yeah, they probably popping up in the DMs big time. I mean, maybe not with that body you had during Redneck Island, but probably a couple slides here and there.
Maybe they're trying to help me out and buy me dinner somewhere.
Get you to eat something.
Yeah. Our second shout out today, no free shout outs, are to the boys at Feltman's of Coney Island, the world's first hot dog brand, established back in 1867 with Charles Feltman being the inventor of the glizzy, the hot dog. All the glizzy gladiators out there, just to continue to grill them up, continue to order from the boys because they're the best hot dog in the game. Feltman's is also a military veteran-run business revived in 2015. The founders, Michael and Joe Quinn, revived the brand in honor of their late brother, Jimmy, who was tragically killed on 9/11. And when I say veteran-owned, these are hardcore real-ass veterans with 30-plus years in uniform, over 113 months deployed overseas. Joe has deployed three times to combat after his brother was killed on 9/11. They all played D1 sports at Army. Shout out Army a little bit. The Quinn brothers are diehard sports fans, especially football and baseball. Guys, best hot dog in the game. They're uncured, beef, all-natural hot dogs. Huge glizzies, dude. Nice glizzies. Bussin' fans get a discount off the entire site with the order code Bussin' at website www.feltmansofconeyisland.com. And for the veterans and first responders out there, on their website, they also get an additional 10% off with ID.me at checkout. So go check out the boys at Feltman's. Again, Feltman's of Coney Island.com. Get you a nice little discount from the boys to the boys for the boys for the Feltman's Coney Island hot dogs, boys. I keep saying boys. I apologize. Back to the episode.
Go ahead. Do you ever go on Tinder or anything like that? You ever jump on that?
No.
I jumped on Tinder when I first got to Nashville. It didn't work out well for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't popping.
Things were going decent, but it just felt uncomfortable.
Well, here's
going
my
to
thing.
Meet somebody I like just, that. And people get married all the time on dating sites. I know somebody that went to plentyfishinthesea.com, which is like a Christian dating website.
Farmersonly.com.
They had the best fucking commercials too. They had the best commercials ever made. But I don't know, like swiping right and meeting up, and you guys both know what you're going to do, but you have like 15 minutes of chit chat.
Well, here's one thing we really need to talk about. It's like, used to dating was kind of hard.
Mm-hmm.
You had to put in an effort.
Lots.
You had to text or call or go see them or meet their parents, whatever. We've taken all that out. Now it's like,
anxiety.
All you have to do is slide in somebody's DMs now. Uh-huh. And then that was too hard. So now we want to just
swipe it
all
across.
You want to do is this to let them know that you like
them.
Like, come on now. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to say that we're using social media to date and you don't actually have to like see a person or like go, but to be like a swipe is all you have to do now.
Mm-hmm.
Swipe right, swipe left. Yes, no.
Do you like me? You don't have to ask them.
Don't
just
even have to
ask put your profile out there.
Do you think I'm good looking enough to
do you
hook
think
up
I'm
with
pretty?
You? Do you want a piece of this? Swipe right. No, you don't. Swipe left. No.
See you.
Gone forever.
Do you want a piece of this?
How is it? Just now you binary, explain me. How is it going to get swiping? Easier than that?
Virtual reality headsets.
Yeah,
we just hooked up.
Hey. You're just playing with yourself in your bathroom.
A club,
I guess.
And right when you walk in the club, it's a virtual reality headset.
I think they do that. They do that porn now. They have virtual reality porn.
I figured y'all would have a headset in here somewhere.
Something
what do you
like
mean
that?
You
I
think?
Know, Alex.
They definitely
think
have that.
That well,
somebody who Alex.
If there was ever a place.
He lives on this bus now.
Virtual
mean,
reality
Alex?
Porn
what do you
is
mean?
On this bus.
No, I'm not the guy for virtual reality porn. That's not me.
That's
don't
not
put
your,
that out there.
That's not your deal? No. I had a guy show me one time. It was like your phone, and you'd hold your phone like this, and the girl was doing whatever to you. And you could literally go and look around.
And there's
the room.
Like an orgy going on.
Well,
in your lap.
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a plant over here.
Yeah, there's a plant. Yeah. So there's a some lady watering the plant as she's blowing you or something like that. Something crazy.
You're between
two crazy shit.
You're between ben, two ferns, dude. Between two
great.
Ferns.
That's gonna get too boring, and you have to have like the cops for your mom busting in or something
yeah.
into.
Dude, there's some
really
there's some
realistic.
Stuff. I was actually talking to my wife about porn. The other day, and she was saying that like,
whoa!
Yeah, I tell you what, we had a weird relationship.
I just walked
man.
Past that.
Yeah, we were at dinner. There was a family next to us and a small child, and we were talking about porn. And they were saying something like, "The big porn thing now is like your stepsisters coming in. Like your stepsisters, like people are banging their stepsisters and stuff on porn. That's like,
well, no, that's not really what's happening.
What do you
right?
mean?
No,
that's the
obviously
big thing.
They're actors.
That's what people like to pretend.
What do you mean? It's okay. the big thing.
Like if like
in America, thing like
if,
is that like a
in America, if you go to these porn sites, it'll pop up like you not don't you pull up any porn sites right
go
now
to,
because
go
I don't want
to hey, go
the
to
bus
porn,
is not getting AIDS.
Go to Pornhub.com
and then I bet you it'll pop up like stepsister Bangs Brothers Big Piece.
Yeah, most
or
popular.
Like
that. Yeah,
Bangs Brothers Big Piece.
Why are they purple? You've been clicking on them?
Yeah, you've been
every one of these I've seen. Hey, these are purple. You've clicked on all these damn things.
I just want to be clear, they're not purple.
They are purple.
It gets lonely on the bus. Run it out.
Hey, well, you're sitting right there. That used to be
dark brown. I always wonder why the boys come in 2 hours early. I'm like, man, it's so much
that's,
time.
Yeah, so much to work. What are
but
they
now
doing,
I know.
Man?
What are they?
What was your
back
family
there?
Think when they listened to this podcast that hear us talking about porn?
They probably won't listen to it.
Okay.
They'll probably be,
all right. Disrespected on the bus.
Boys.
Yeah.
They'll probably be watching The Bachelor.
Hey, The Bachelor.
Go listen to the first 5 minutes of this and then go watch The Bachelor.
I bet you watched that show once.
I feel like I have now. Y'all filled me in on this season.
It's solid. There's three people left. Some girl from Knoxville is in it. She's a model. Probably Instagram model, but I don't know. Maybe she'll be
it's
on
a French
it
model.
A French model. Did it show? Just type Pornhub.com.
It says Fortnite.
Stormy Daniels, Fortnite. 4K.
Romantic. Trans. Okay.
Jesus.
Outdoor. Tattoos. I can get on board with that. You have any tattoos?
Mm.
Not a tattoo guy?
I don't like have a problem with them. I made it through the era of my mom would kick my butt if I got one and then didn't feel like I need one after that.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I would agree with that too. I've never heard that logic, but yeah, my parents wouldn't have wanted me to get one the entire time I was, you know, in their household.
My dad was always cool with me getting tattoos, but he never wanted me to get earrings, which I thought was such a ridiculous thing because you can always take earrings out.
He's got like a thing. That's cool. You know what I mean?
Do what you want.
So here, you can do this, but don't do this. All right.
I got earrings once. God, I used to have gauges. I can put a pencil
I can
through
see
my
that.
Hair.
We should probably
just
get
met. We just met. We're working on a foundation of friendship here, and I feel like you're really wavering back and forth.
No, man.
You're sizing me up on that 70s themed couch.
I'm just trying to picture you growing up, man. Just tattooed up with a big gauge in your ear.
Yep, 8 years old. Tattooed That's up with cool, a big man. Gauge in my ear. I'll tell you, I was a bad kid. I was a bad kid for a little bit. But then
you're
I found
probably
football.
One of those kids that picked up like used cigarette buds on the ground.
You know I used to do that. That's why you said it.
We got to do this for the pod. Let me act this scene out, dude.
When I was in eighth grade, I used to... So freestyle motocross is my thing. Anything with an engine, I'm obsessed with it.
Would have guessed.
And I used to watch Metal Militia. Would have guessed. I've told you the story 1,000 times.
But I still would have guessed that.
Yeah. And so Metal... You know, do you ever ride dirt bikes or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Me well, either. Something new to pick up because it's unbelievable. So Metal Militia... Nitrous Circus, talking about Travis Pastrana, Brian Deegan, stuff, Twitch, yeah. Those types of dudes. And Metal Militia were like these, the badass dudes. So I'd be like, in eighth grade, I grew up in Cave Creek, Arizona, small town. And so like I'd ride my dirt bike everywhere. And if the cops tried to pull me over, just rip in the desert, you're gone. So I'd go to the gas station, the Target, and I'd finally half smoke cigarettes. And I'd smoke the cigarettes. I thought it was so cool. How disgusting is that? Wow. I used to wear my pants so low. If I wasn't wearing underwear, you could see my asshole.
Jinkos.
No, I wasn't a G. Oh, I was a Dickies guy. Man. I was Dickies.
Okay, all right.
Dickies, Bam Margera shirt. I mean, that's when all that CKY and Jackass, yeah. Like that was, I was a wannabe that.
Okay.
But I was terrible at riding dirt bikes. I was no good. It was my thing though. It's how I grew up.
Let's get back to the Buenas music.
Yeah, you're right. That's probably fair.
When did it start to turn around for you? Like when did it start to trend upwards fast?
I wrote a song called Bury Me in Dixie about Alabama. I played it at some shows and I, of course, people video stuff put on YouTube and it started to get a lot of traction. I wrote a song called Georgia Time and that was the second one that people started really singing at shows.
When was this?
2015, somewhere okay. In there, I guess, 15, 16. I did a show with Luke Combs at a bar called Zydeco in Birmingham and Luke wasn't real big yet. And I didn't think anybody knew who I was or outside of my little county. And I went down there and opened for him. It was sold out and people were singing my songs. So then I go back and I sell it out like 2 months later. And then like 2 months after that, I go sell 1,260 tickets at a place called Iron City in Birmingham and just had no clue people knew me. So then you fast forward me going to some new markets. It was word of mouth. I didn't have a booking agent calling me to come play these places. And then I go play in Chicago at Joe's Bar. 500-600 people show up. Big Machine Records was there. They offered me a record deal on the spot.
Really?
Yeah.
So are you booking this stuff yourself?
Yeah. I mean, I had my phone number on a little card. It was on the website.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Well, how surreal of a feeling was that when you're singing?
That's what I was wondering,
and
you're too.
And these people are singing back to
it's
you.
It's crazy.
And you stop singing.
That's got to be the coolest shit ever.
Oh, it's nuts. And I mean, you know, obviously you get a song on the radio and that's a fairly normal thing. You know, once people start hearing your songs played, they know them. But back then it was so crazy to me because I was just surprised people were showing up. Like people knew who I was because there was real no reason for it. Mm-hmm. It was just what was going on was I'd put these songs out and people were riding around letting their buddies listen to them in their truck. I mean, that's how it was spreading.
But where are you putting them out at? Like
I put everything on TuneCore, which would send it to like everything. It would send it like Amazon, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, all that.
Gotcha.
That's
I didn't really know what I was doing. I just asked around and that was, you know, what people said. They said CD Baby was one of them. TuneCore was one of them. So I did that one. And then I figured out you can like go online and there's like a little account and I was getting money like for streams and it kept getting bigger and bigger. So like, this is cool, man. I was framing houses during the week, making like $500 in the hot sun and then I'd make it on Friday night playing, you know? So I was
that's
like,
that's awesome.
I'm going to be rich. Sick, that's what I figured.
Yeah, that's badass.
So just basically word of mouth and doing your own research on the internet and then you're plugging this stuff on.
Yeah. Cause I mean, I never came to Nashville and like played a showcase or like, you know, got in front of the right people. They started coming to my shows. So it was really fan driven.
So when did you decide, like, I got to go to Nashville? I'm big enough to go to Nashville now.
I didn't. I signed a publishing deal in 2018, like around March, with Warner Chappell. I signed my record deal with Big Machine the next week. And then Big Machine got me a place in Midtown, and I went on the road on a radio tour.
Really?
I just got done building my own house. I was still a home builder at the time. I built my house in Alabama, moved in January of 18, signed my record deal in March, and I've stayed there, like, maybe 2 months in 2 years.
Really?
So I've got a brand new house. My mom was sending me pictures of furniture getting delivered there. Like that year, I went on the road for the first 8 weeks on radio tour, didn't come home, and that's it's just awesome. Continued.
How often do you get home now? You don't.
No, I mean, I went home for, we played in Knoxville the other day, and I didn't have a ride home, so I bought a 66 Mustang for a few $1,000s from a guy. It broke down before I got out of town, and then it broke down when I got home,
uh-huh.
But I drove it home.
But now you have the frame of a 66 Mustang.
fastback convertible. What is it?
It's a hatchback.
It's bad. Is it like original everything?
Original everything. Inside's perfect. Really? And it's got that straight six motor in it. Like it's bad. It's got a little bit of paint work and he's done, but it's sharp. I'll show you a picture of it.
Sometimes, dude, car like those old cars are kind of beat up, got that like rusty.
I love it. I wouldn't touch it. I mean, yeah. Like the guy's like, you need to repaint it or whatever, because the trunk's got some paint coming off and it's got some on the little lines, but I love it, man.
Just clear coat it. If you clear coat it, it'll stay the same way it is.
I'm not a showroom guy. Mm-hmm. I don't like showroom cars. I want to be able to drive it.
Yeah, that's fair. I like I'm big into like the rat rod, kind of rusted out looking trucks and cars, and I'm a big Mustang guy. I had a 67 GT500, and it was brand new. Everything inside was brand new, and I drove it maybe 15 times in 2 years. It broke down so many times.
My first truck was a 68 Ford Bronco, and I've still got it.
Really?
I sold it. I was broke in college.
Broncos are the coolest. Dude, they're great, so man. Awesome.
I love it. And I'm always like getting on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace when I'm going to shows and finding cars. Like I bought a couple of Jeeps last year when I was on tour with Paisley. I bought a 1985 Chrysler LeBaron convertible with wood panel siding on it.
That's badass.
It's special. You can see the front tire. Like if I turned and it was raining, my feet would get wet.
Really?
Yeah, it's rusted out bad, but it's awesome.
That's to me, that's way cooler than buying like guys got like the new Mercedes or the new Rolls Royce. The thing is, here's the deal.
Yeah, Harrison, new Mercedes, that's a lie.
I see that Mercedes. Is that you outside? Okay, I apologize. I'm not trying to throw shade at the bone we just met.
I feel like my car is on there.
Ain't too. Nothing to be disappointed in.
I'll tell you, I was creeping. Yeah, hey, Mercedes does have a nice ride, but I if you buy a new Mercedes, you're coolest guy in the block for a year, and then that new Mercedes comes out, and then what are you going to do now?
You're right.
You have that 68 Bronco, you get cooler every single year.
Football is coming back, and that means Sundays are back. Why only watch one Sunday out of your only market game when you can watch all of them and catch it all with Sunday NFL Ticket? NFLSundayTicket.tv. Good news for the NFL fans. DirecTV has expanded the service, so if you live in an apartment or big city where DirecTV service is not available, you can now get NFL Sunday Ticket without a satellite. To see if you're eligible, you go online, NFLSundayTicket.tv, and stream every NFL Sunday Ticket game this season to follow your favorite teams, follow the boys, no matter where you live. You can also stream from all your favorite devices. I will tell you those devices in a minute, but you can use promo code BUSSIN20 at checkout to save 15%. You might get confused. Why is it BUSSIN20 if you only get 50% off? It's 2020. So that's why the code BUSSIN20 is being used. There are also exclusive student discounts available. So if you're on campus, you're trying to figure out how to watch the boys, how to follow the boys, how to watch your favorite team. They have exclusive student discounts available for you. So you can go check them out on these devices, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Apple TV, Roku, Chromecast, Samsung Smart TV models from 2015 plus, not that old time shit, laptops, smartphones, tablets. Go to website www.nflsundayticket.tv and enter and use promo code BUSSIN20 at checkout to save 15%. Guys, football is back. I'm confident the boys are going to be playing all year. Look into this shit. Get a discount. You can use all these different devices and tablets and shit like that. Use our code. Save money. Live better. Follow the boys.
I was cruising through this. You need to bring back the mustache.
The mustache is serious.
Dude, that thing was wicked.
I get so much respect for that mustache. You know, look at that piece.
Solid.
Listen,
how hard are you flexing in that picture, dude? That's solid.
That's a mustache flexing.
That's mustache.
Listen, you know how when you're driving and you got a four-way stop and you and another car pull up at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
When you got a mustache like that, you go first.
No question.
Every time.
Every single time. I see you got some dog in you, too. I think I saw it. Where's the... After you find the truck, there's like a rollerblade one. It's like it's sliding into your girl's DMs or something
that mustache day. Makes the rollerblades. I think it's up. I think it was after that.
The mustache makes everything.
Wait, go back down. Did you see? This is my first album cover right here. Keep going down. Keep going down. Come on. Right there in the middle. That was my first album cover.
Get the lettuce?
Dear,
oh my look God. At that. This, dude.
You look like Luke Combs and a Chris Stapleton.
A lot of
Stapleton.
Variety. You got a variety.
Yeah, some Duck Dynasty for real.
I got better tips when I looked homeless.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No question.
Hey, we need to help this
I look
guy
homeless
out.
Now. Well, I did a little bit ago. I shaved my beard. I got that patchy beard, dude. See, I would rock a mustache all the time, but I'm 310 pounds. I got no chin. Oh. You know what I'm saying? It adds a little depth.
That's a thing. I didn't.
Oh, you, come on. Don't pretend. Look at this guy. Don't pretend. I mean, like, look at this.
Tucked in.
You get ankle bending a little bit on those rollerblades. You fall over after a little bit?
Oh, yeah. It was horrible.
You like, bad at that?
It took 20 minutes to get that shot.
No way.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
About to roll in your girl's DMs on Valentine's Day. Like,
hey, I like the fruit boots. Somebody hashtag fruit boots first time. Hey, I've never heard solid. That before, man.
Fruit boots. I like that.
What's funny is my guitar player brought those out on tour seriously. Like, well, to rollerblade.
Roll around for exercise? Not to be funny.
No. No.
Are you serious? Yeah. And you get fired?
Well, no, he didn't get fired.
He didn't. But you're thinking about it right now, huh?
No, man, he went off to do his own thing.
Oh, did he? Well, yeah. Good luck to him.
Mutual separation.
So you have a whole band?
I've got a band.
What's the name of your band?
The Riley Green Band. I don't know. It's just my band. I mean, I can tell you the guys' names.
No, yeah, shout the boys out.
Tyler Galloway plays lead guitar. He's from one of the Carolinas. I can't ever remember. Quinn Stanfield's a drummer. He's from Florence, Alabama. He's been with me for like 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Been to Florence.
Rob Joyce is from Boston, guitar player. Also got a little notoriety because he got on stage with Keith Urban at a concert and played and like jammed out.
Crushed it.
There's a video on YouTube.
Awesome. And Keith's like known for playing the guitar. He can rip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He had like a sign with his girlfriend. So like, can my boyfriend play your guitar? And Keith called him up and he ended up being good.
That's badass, man.
Alejandro is my bass player. And then there's just me.
Have you been with them the whole time?
No. Well, his guitarist just left.
Yeah. Quinn was with me for a long time. And we kind of picked the other guys up as we went.
CTE.
You got to give them a name, like Riley Green and the Smoking Aces.
That's probably a thing already.
Riley Green and the Smoking Aces.
Riley Green and the Tennessee Lottery.
Riley Green and the Fruit Boots.
Riley Green and the Boys.
Riley Green and
the Boys, man. I'm with
that's solid. We can't play instruments, man. But we'll be your number one hype man.
Cool.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you're on the bus now. You're
part of your family.
You're plugged in.
So when y'all coming to a show?
When are you coming here?
Yeah, when are you playing around Nashville?
October.
Are you coming here?
I knew that.
He goes, October.
I don't know where I'm playing.
I'll be here in October. I got a job then.
CMA Fest?
Yeah, we'll be out. We're doing the Riverfront stage and something. I don't know. Maybe I'm not supposed to say any of this. I don't know. We're playing some stages.
Hunting. You always hunted?
No. When I was growing up, I was more into sports. I didn't do a lot of hunting. My dad never hunted. He was always worked. Mm-hmm. He built houses his whole life, never cared anything about it. And I've gotten him into it now. Obviously, he's gone on a couple of trips. That's deer he killed in Mississippi this year. But I'm doing that for a different reason because I enjoy it so much now and I want to buy a farm and have him retire and take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, he needs a project because he's always wide open. He got that from my grandmother. They're just like, she's weed eats in like 100 degree weather. Just crazy.
Got to do something.
Yeah, man. Always got to be moving. I didn't get that. Like, I don't mind sitting on my butt. These people are crazy.
You've made it very clear on this podcast that you like to sleep. Don't worry.
That's one thing I want to get across to everybody.
Yeah. This man loves naps.
Yeah.
Don't have kids. You won't nap.
Sitting on my butt.
I think that it was a little bit of the competitiveness in sports that mm-hmm. made me take a liking to hunting as much as I did. Because you and your buddies are like, oh man, how'd you do today? You know, so it's like, and you're like strategizing on how to go out and like where to get and, you know, sneaking up on a turkey or whatever, just calling something you can get better at. So,
and staying in the camp with your boys, like, yeah, man,
there's a million things about hunting that I think people that haven't ever hunted don't understand that they would enjoy. Like going to the camaraderie of hanging out at a hunting camp. You know, I mean, like, I've gone on some of my best hunt trips and not shot a thing, but just had a good time.
Had a fun time. I've been deer hunting 2 times and I have ADD really bad. And I caught myself after 25 minutes following a butterfly with my scope.
And maybe this ain't for me.
And then I was like, yes, this, I don't know if I can do this.
It's hard to hunt when you're worried about what's going to happen on The Bachelor that night.
Yeah, hey, it's a tough deal. But someone's got to stay
in tune,
man.
Here before dark.
No doubt. And so I know Hulu comes out tonight if you guys want to watch it because we missed it last night because of the tornado warnings. So if you want to jump on. If the women tell all time,
I gotta take a nap. Later.
Yeah, take a nap.
I got that nap.
I think that's called going to bed. It's fast. It'll be about that time.
No, because he'll set an alarm.
I'll set an alarm.
And realize
2 a.m.
Oh,
I got some hours.
That's bedtime. Hey, have you ever duck hunted?
So okay, I was gonna say I do want to bird hunt.
Okay, so you'd enjoy that. You don't have to be quiet. There. You can talk to your buddies, goof off. It's totally different.
That sounds like a really good time, dude.
Oh, there's the boy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Thomas had never been, and he asked me to take him this year, and I didn't really know him all that well. He reached out to me at BMI Awards, and man, like, I'd like to go hunting with you, so I carried him down there, and he was cool, man. He's a good hang. He's definitely a really talented songwriter and music guy. And, you know, one thing about him is he's from Georgia. I mean, he's as country as anybody, you know.
Bulldogs.
Shout out the boy.
Yeah, Thomas is a good dude, man. I've been around him a few times. He's a really good guy.
good person, good family man.
So I'd written with his dad several times, but never been around Thomas that much.
You guys think you'll do something together in the future?
I think so. Yeah, we've actually done a lot of talking about it.
That's awesome. I'm excited to see what happens from that. What about, I had something else I wanted to ask you. Do you want to get married someday? Have kids?
Yeah.
What do you think? You dating somebody now?
No.
Life's too crazy right now. You're on the road all the time.
I couldn't imagine. I had to give my dog away. Like, that's how.
How heartbreaking was that?
I saw her the other day. She remembered me. Sadie.
Oh, no
way.
She
was my Yo Lab. I trained her. She was my duck dog. And I gave her to my little cousin. His dog got ran over. And it was just when I was traveling.
This is taking a turn.
Just a dog history.
This is really taking a turn.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that. But, I can't imagine. And the travel and distraction of what's going on with me right now, it'd be pretty tough to keep a girl happy.
No doubt. The dog remembered you, though.
Did. Yeah,
she went crazy. How good of a feeling was that?
I was up on top. Me and my dad were building a gym in my barn, and I was up on top, and she came running in there, and I said,
"You
said
what were you building?
A gym.
Dude, what can't you do? Build houses,
buying cars? Well, the same building houses in the barn.
I guess so.
But I said something to her, and she started whining, trying to climb up the ladder to get up there. Like, she was fired up.
That's awesome. That's badass, man. You ever want to get another dog?
Yeah, but I'll have to be in a place.
Buy a chihuahua.
No. I know that they're good for watching The Bachelor, like lap dogs.
I tell you what,
it'd be hard for a chihuahua to bring a goose back. You know what I mean?
It'll get it. I'll tell you what, dude.
A goose is this big.
Yeah, they're feisty and they got a lot of energy. I want a chihuahua so bad.
They got like little dogs
in. You're just thinking in your head, like, what'd I get myself into?
No,
I just want him to chill right here. Name him Chamaco.
Chamaco? I don't hate that.
You don't hate that at all?
I don't hate the name. I mean, the
name's solid. Name's half the battle when you name an animal.
That's fair.
This guy over here's got some piece of shit crinkle t-shirt over here.
he's cussing about Waffle now. He was just at the house cuddling with Waffle.
I wasn't cuddling with it. It came around me.
He was cuddling with Waffle.
Did you get pics?
And he was like,
No, I was upset.
Charles actually did. And he's like, it's a cute pup. And I was like, Charles, did you film that?
Because puppies are cute because they're just straight. A puppy, doesn't matter what it is.
No one's arguing that. Like Haggard, it's a good looking dog. It's not like, oh, that's a cute grown dog.
I got a German Shepherd puppies. Named Hank. He's one of those trained dogs, Global Canine. Shout out Global Canine. They do these like protective service dogs, and they're off leash. They're awesome. You might want to get one of those.
It's cool you say shout out whenever you do a shout out.
Or no, so that's what it is. We're all about, thing?
Yeah,
we're all out. About no free shout outs.
Yeah. If it's like a business, like, hey, shout out Chipotle, no free shout out.
But I mean, like, if I said Thomas Rhett, I need to say shout out Thomas Rhett.
Shout out Thomas Rhett.
Oh, that's cool. Okay.
Yeah. Shout out the boy. The boys.
I'm going to start doing that in life.
There you go.
Harrison, Harrison. Let's go.
Yeah. Shout out Harrison, Mercedes.
You guys do it at your concerts.
That's cool.
Hey, shout out the boys out there.
Yeah. Shout out to the boys.
I could see you CMA Fest crushing it in a Titans blue 77 jersey.
No.
Getting after it.
Yeah. Shout out to number 77.
Let's go. I'll take that too.
I assume that's who it was.
Shout out number 77.
Shout out number 77. Just say the number.
I was number 77 on like scout team quarterback. That was a jersey.
You were 77?
No, I'm just saying that's what number I would. It's the only time I'd be 77.
I tell you what, that's the coolest offensive line number.
I was so skinny, I only had room for one digit.
No, I seen the picture.
Yeah.
You won looking like that. Bring that thing back up. Do you have a picture of you when you were skinny? Skinny fat like that? No, just the ones of you flexing now, huh?
Just, yeah, man. Well, see, I got a kicker's jersey on there.
You know, we got a thing about guys wearing other guys' jerseys.
What is it?
They get to sleep with you.
Well, that one's got
my
name on it.
That's not ours. We can't take that.
That's not our
joke.
Shout out to whoever said that. Who did say that?
Chris D'Elia.
Chris D'Elia said that? He did say that.
He said if you wear another man's jersey, they get to fuck you.
Yeah.
Well, they gave me that jersey. It's got my number on it and my name.
That okay, so we have another thing about that.
What
if you were given
a
jersey?
These are all Taylor's things, by the way.
Okay,
but
okay, so I like
this business
because this happens a lot. So what is it? If you give a jersey,
if you wear another man's jersey, if I go to a Predators game and I put a Roman Yossi jersey on, shout out Roman Yossi, not okay.
And he decides he wants to.
He can.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, I'll put up a fight.
That's fair.
But he's probably gonna win that fight because I'm wearing his jersey.
Okay.
Now I've been to the Predators games. I know you've probably seen it. Chugging beers off Catfish, maybe.
Allegedly.
Well, no, that's actually this video evidence. They invited the offensive line to come and do the pump up thing before the games, and they gave us like Predator shirts, 77 Lawan on the back.
Okay.
That's totally fine to do.
Oh, that's okay.
Oh, yeah, you're fully supporting.
They do that with me all the time.
There you go. Oh, man, weird flex.
Yeah. He said shout out to people that give me jerseys with a name on the back.
There you go. We'll hook it up. Titans, figure it out.
I think you're going with the whole your own name on a different jersey just because it happened to you.
No, I've been okay with that. I actually
think so. The rule's okay because it happened to him. Yeah.
That's usually how most of my life works. Okay. I try to spin things to make it so it works for me.
So how about this though? Would you go to his concert and rock a Riley Green T-shirt concert?
Yeah. What about that?
If you gave me the T-shirt, I would wear it.
But and if it's Riley Green on it,
that means I get.
You know
to
what I mean?
Well, okay.
Riley Green.
Yeah.
Riley Green.
Looks like I've backed myself into. Didn't a bit we bring of a you a T-shirt?
We got you a T-shirt.
No, yeah, you ain't getting in this, bud.
Riley Green right? Number 77 T-shirt.
Hey, if it has 77 on it, I'm solid. I don't know if I'd wear a Riley Green T-shirt. I'd go to your concert though. I'd pay money.
I'll tell you why you would. I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
You know me, so
I want to ask nicely.
It's been an hour and 43 seconds.
I mean, listen, you had a earring, tattoos, you had JNCOs. I can picture it. We grew up together.
I did not wear JNCOs.
Riding a moped. This is awesome. Listen, because I don't have merch that's got like big, gaudy Riley Green all over it. Like I got stuff that's got like a cool picture of a duck with a little RG kind of hidden. See, I'm like big on merch that's like enjoyable looking to wear. Like I could almost wear it. Almost.
Would you rock this tee?
Yeah.
Live dudes.
Let's do it.
With the boys on the back.
It looks great.
See, it's solid.
At a concert.
It's subtle.
At a concert.
I'll wear it at a concert and do the shout out thing.
Oh, shout out the boys.
I'll tell you
shout
what, you're starting a whole different thing for us. BustingWithTheBoys.com or BarstoolSports.com. Busting with the boys merch. You can go ahead and buy that. Look at that. Raise
hey,
Hell.
Hey, he's for the
Praise
boys.
Praise Dale Tank. Is this your stuff?
Looks like it. I've never been on my website before.
The shirt hasn't popped up yet, so how do you know if it looks like it?
I've never been on the website. I don't know. Maybe y'all got bad bandwidth inside this bus.
What's going on here?
We try hard.
Alex is cluttering up with all the porn.
If I had to guess, Harrison broke the website.
Harrison, are you a bad egg? What's the deal?
You know, we're just sold out of everything. That's why.
Oh, my gosh.
Shout out to people buying merch.
Shout out to all the people buying merch. Riley Green merch. You can get it on what? What's your website?
Assume RileyGreenMusic.com or something along those lines.
No one gets anywhere being subtle.
I mean, if I
tell you what, I would wear that if it's just a little RG on the side.
Yeah, I got you, man.
Yeah, I'd wear that.
All right,
you found my loophole.
I got one that says "Raise Hell, Praise Dale." Yeah, that's a cool shirt.
Yeah, I actually have a vintage like Dale Earnhardt.
Love that
T-shirt, graphic tee.
Love that.
I love that. I wore it like 4 days in a row.
Shout out Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale Earnhardt, his dad.
Even
R.I.P.
R.I.P. He'll be on this bus soon.
This episode is also brought to you by Sports Research. Huge fan of Sports Research. They have this pre and post workout that they've made that's phenomenal for you. Got essential amino acids, some creatine, some beta alanine to give you that little itch for your pre-workout. And they also have Sweet Sweat. I'm sure you guys are aware of Sweet Sweat, where you rub the stick all over your body. You sweat more whether you're going to sauna or for your workout. Really good shit. It's one of the most, Sports Research is one of the most trusted health and fitness brands in the States, developed by athletes for athletes. So by the boys, for the boys, similar to us. Established over 40 years ago, Sports Research is family owned and operated and dedicated to providing the highest quality products that focus on a lifetime approach to living healthy instead of the quick band-aid fix. Home workout essentials to certified athlete supplements. Sports Research has a little something for everybody. Like I was telling you, they have pre and post workouts. They have a therapy gun now. They have Sweet Sweat to help you sweat it out a little more. They got a lot of good shit, man. So whether you're trying to lose a few pounds or give your immune system a boost during Corona, we've got you covered. The boys got you covered. This month, Sports Research is launching that pre-sweat and post-sweat, an advanced pre-workout and hydration formula packed with, like I said, EAAs, essential amino acids, sports certified, and sure to give you a bit of pep in your step during those brutal home workouts or those hills you're running outside. You can check out the entire catalog of certified bestsellers on Amazon, or head over to the website to get 20% off your first order using the code BUSSIN20. That's 20% off site-wide at sportsresearch.com with code BUSSIN20. For the boys, by the boys. Enjoy the episode.
What do you think of the bus?
It's great. So the first thing I said when I walked in was it needs to be at Talladega.
I think it has been at Talladega.
It needs to be in the infield at Talladega. We had a 91 Winnebago that we took to turn three every year. Parked in turn three, watched the races. Like, that's the spot. It's 20 minutes from Jacksonville, where I live at.
You know, there's rumors about Nashville getting NASCAR.
There is.
You go on every year,
MLB team.
MLB?
And an MLB
team. So what happens to the Sounds if that happens?
I'm sure they would still be, a minor league team in Nashville.
they would probably become the team.
Yeah, because they just built they just redid that stadium over there. That's a new stadium.
That's a nice stadium. It is super nice. That's a nice stadium. You've been to a couple of those games?
I have. I used to live like right in the parking lot in a little condo over there.
Just off
Third Avenue.
Outfield?
Yeah, just out of the outfield. Yeah.
I had a buddy who used to live out there. That's a nice little spot.
It is, man.
You can see right over right into the game.
You can. That's dude, it was cool. A party. Those games were parties too.
No doubt. Well, right field, they're playing bags out there. Yeah. They have a whole open bar out there.
I'll tell you where I went that I had no idea how they like tailgated for baseball games was Mississippi State.
They got after it?
It's crazy. They used to have like you brought your own. They like built their own scaffolding. You're right on the fence in the outfield. Like they're just yelling at the outfielders for the other teams and just partying, grilling out. Then they built these big things and they've got like big condos up there in the outfield. But they throw down out there,
dude. That's awesome.
It's a lot of fun.
I dated a girl that went to LSU, so I was down there for a little bit. Went to a couple of LSU baseball games. They were. It was
isn't that crazy? You just don't.
LSU
I don't know.
Thinks that's your serious.
LSU takes it serious, and they got the open container law. Like you're allowed to walk around with a drink in your hand, like anywhere. So people are getting after it. Shout out Louisiana.
Shout out to people that drink.
Shout out to everyone
that
drinks.
Shout out to people that drink.
No question. No question about it. So you don't got people telling you what you can and can't do. They say, "Hey, just be yourself. Write good music."
Yeah, like my mom. Who would you be talking about?
Like your management or anything?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. No, hey, he's right over there. He's watching The Bachelor. You don't tell me. To do
he shook his head three
are
or four
you,
times.
Are you his manager?
Part of his manager.
Part of his
it takes a team. Shout out to the team.
Shout out to the team, dude.
What's a team name? Like, what team do you go with? Like, what's your
Riley what's Green and the Band of Misfits?
Riley Green and the boys.
Hey, you kind of like the little band name behind it, don't you? But it's always just going to be Riley Green. But you, what's Riley Green's band? Riley Green and the Tennessee Lottery. I stole that name actually, but
well, Riley they don't Green get put in the paper when I say something offensive either. So it's like quarterback. You get the praise when you win.
Will you say offensive things?
No.
Ever.
No, of course not.
No, no question.
Of course not.
Those ostrich boots?
They are.
Can't hide money. Can't hide the money coming in, buddy.
These are free.
No, they weren't.
This whole outfit was free.
Let's
go. This company gave me, shout out to the people that gave me this shirt.
Stars and Stripes, what was that?
Yeah. They make a big Dale American Dibbles? Flag, wooden American flags. They paint them up.
They, like, and they open up?
Yeah.
I got one of those there in the house.
They gave me another one the other day at my show in Oklahoma City and gave me some shirts. Carhartt pants. They gave me those.
Those are Carhartt?
Yeah.
Shout out Carhartt.
Shout out Carhartt.
No free shout outs.
No free shout outs. Carhartt, we're going to need you to give us some love.
The
man.
Businesses or no free shout outs? The boys?
Oh, so you say no free first.
Unless you're sponsored by the businesses. Yeah. We had some not so politically correct stickers up here. The stickers came as is, so we taped them up a little bit.
Yeah, no, Frog's really offensive.
He's a bit of an asshole.
Shout out to reptiles in general.
Yeah. Shout out to all the reptile. Shout out to the reptile boys.
Did you see that chicken right there? Bought that. Saw it, bought it, needed it for the bus.
That's cool.
With the Mike Tyson tat.
Yeah.
You look at our old videos and you're like, damn, like our bus looks way different.
It does look way different now. See one of those neon signs?
Is that new?
No, we've had that for
that neon we've had since day one. Shout out to the dude in Arizona.
Guy in Billy D. Billy D and the neon signs.
Well, you don't see a lot of people change their set, so that's good on y'all, man.
Yeah. Well, we're always trying to get better every single day.
Yeah.
We bring on guys like you who like to give the boys a little shade, but it's okay. Your manager drives a Mercedes. That's the most uncountry thing I've ever seen in my life.
Hey,
you might need new management. You need a guy.
Listen, now you're talking to
me. You might need the boys to back you up.
No, we'd be terrible managers.
Yeah. Would we?
I can see that.
I think we would.
Yeah, we would be. Like,
say, show up with JNCOs and Converse.
I'll tell you what. Vans. Do you own a pair of Vans?
No, but you can't see what kind of shoes you got on with JNCOs, though. They took the whole shoe off.
They take the whole thing, huh?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. We're about to fight in about 15 minutes, man. This right here. This is what I'm building right now. It's a 77 F-100.
Oh, God damn it.
Scroll left or right. Your choice.
That's bad.
You like that?
Yeah. It's a beautiful house, too.
I don't know whose house that is.
That thing's been in the shop for like 8 years.
Yeah, it's a
ground. So it's like, I'm building this right now.
I'm building
started it in 2001.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. If I actually was building it myself, it would not look like that. If I was building since 2001, wouldn't work. We got fan questions.
Let's see some fan questions.
Why do you think he would write better country songs?
It's who do you think?
Who do you think?
You want me to read it?
Yeah, shit, I can't read for help. But hey,
shout out to people that
at
can read.
Riley Green Music.
Shout out to
who do you think could write a better country song? Hey, Will or Taylor, and why?
Look whose question it is.
Oh, Mikey.
Shout out to Mikey, dude.
All right.
Shout out to Blazowski.
Blazowski. That's such a Polish name.
Who do you think would write a better country song, Will or Taylor? And why?
Let me give you a little taste.
No.
We had a good run. I knew. Something like that. You know what I'm saying? And here, Will, sounds like he's chewed on glass his whole life.
Who do you think?
Well, no, that's not who would sing a better country song. Who would write it?
Yeah, but it becomes.
Can't even spell who.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe writing. I think Will would probably write the better song.
Oh, I feel like Will's a little quieter. A lot of songwriters are the ones that are like kind of laid back and a little, you know, under the radar. Uh-huh. And then they come up with some.
It's cool. Feelings aren't hurt at all.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
All right. Next question.
Never heard a really good country song. Somebody wrote in JNCOs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, man. Dicky Pants, man.
Hey, I'll tell you what. Wallet. Y'all write a country song, each one of y'all.
Uh-huh.
And the best one you can vote on, and I'll sing it at a concert.
Ooh. Hey, hey.
Or Dibs Earnest. Dibs Earnest.
I'm doing a writer's round.
Yo, number one, we got to write it.
Yeah, y'all.
You write your own. I'll write my own.
K. Okay, so if y'all can write it together.
He ignored the shit out of you.
That's fine.
I know.
What's the
No, go ahead. K. Go ahead. Finish the deal.
Uh-uh.
Do you know Ernest K?
I don't.
Ernest.
Do I?
Ernest K.
I don't think so.
Up anyway, and comer, man. Up and comer. Yeah, Shout out Ernest K.
He was like, I call Ernest K. And I'm like, we gotta write our own song.
No, he said, yeah, you write your own song. I write my own song. They vote on it, and he's going to sing it.
Yeah.
I heard the entire thing.
Well, you weren't listening.
Shout out to people that were listening.
Yeah. You said, I call Ernest. It's like, no, we have to write our own song.
Yeah. But people, do you write all your own songs?
Do
not lie. You just said you go to writers' rounds all the time.
What do you mean?
You said they all have like writers on the bus, but he writes like.
I write all my own songs. I'm a writer on everything I've written.
You are a writer on everything you've written, but you're not you didn't write the entire thing.
Don't disrespect. No, so,
I'm not disrespecting. That's part of music. Am I right?
It's, yeah, you're saying.
He just looks to the left. Ain't nobody talking to you over there.
You're saying it in a weird thing. Like I'm like, okay, y'all write it. And then I come up like, no, it's like we go sit down, me and you, and we write a song. We wrote that song.
Yeah.
Now, some of them I write by myself.
Sure.
Some of them I write with other people.
Okay.
But to say that I didn't write something.
You're going to write a
song. Yeah.
I tell you what.
All right. Guess what I call Riley? We're going to write a song.
That was a good little deal there.
Yeah. It worked out good.
I'll tell you what. I don't like how things are starting to get cool, man.
All right. What's the best advice Riley has for someone completely new to songwriting?
Boom. Perfect.
I would just say to not be too critical. I think that a lot of new artists probably worry about whether this song's good enough for that. And I didn't. And granted, I probably put out a lot of songs that are not all that great, but I put out a lot of songs because I didn't really worry about it. I just wrote stuff that I knew about and I'd go play it. And if somebody liked it, I'd go record it. And it helped me gain a following. So I'm just like, write every day, write down stuff you think's not any good, write down stuff you think is good. And something in there is going to resonate with somebody, you know? And the other thing is don't model your songwriting after what you hear on the radio. Model it after what people relate to at your shows. What I did was I wrote songs, I'd go play them. And if they liked this line, I'd go, man, I need to write stuff like that. Or they really like this part. It's like, man, that's something that I need to put more stuff in there like that. So that was how I shaped my songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
So go play it for people.
Is there someone that you, I'm sure there's lots of people, but is there a specific person that you kind of idolize in the country music world?
Starting out, I was a big Corey Smith fan. You remember Corey Smith?
Ooh, oh, yeah.
I love Corey Smith.
And we got to be buddies. I got to know him through winning the little songwriters deal with him. And that was one thing he told me that kind of stuck with me was that songwriting was something that you get better at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I'd always pictured in my head that people were like, one hit wonders was like, you get lucky and write a good song.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. Probably not gonna get another one. But if you think about songwriting as something that you can actually do and get better at like anything else, which... You know, it's kind of motivates you to go, okay, well, I might write 20 bad songs and one good one. Well, one good one will do pretty well for you.
There you go. I'm a big fan of Corey Smith, man. That guy's a stud. I'm surprised he's not like way bigger than he is.
I wish I was 21. That song was a banger.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
If I could do it again.
Shout out Corey Smith. Can we get him on the bus?
Let's do it. He would love it.
God. You think he'd like it?
Yeah.
Yo, that would be.
Right up his alley.
Yeah, man. Got that good shiny bald head too. That's a compliment.
No, he's not coming.
Nathan, now he's not.
I'll tell you what, the bald head's a good move.
If he'll do
a one on
one with me, we'll move him.
I'll tell you what, I've tasted my own medicine of getting picked on. It's bitter.
It's bitter.
My medicine is a touch bitter.
It's not fun, is it?
I'm going to regroup. I'm going to come back tomorrow stronger and more powerful than ever.
He says, miss on. Hey, this is Mikey again.
Yeah, okay.
Just from a different.
All right, Mikey. Sure. Shout out to Mikey again, dude.
Double dipping on Instagram and Twitter.
If you could tour with any old country artist, who would it be?
I feel like Hank Williams Jr. would be a lot of fun.
Mm, that'd be solid.
Hank's I feel fun. Like he had some shows where it was borderline out of control.
Those are the best kinds of shows.
Yeah, I'm with that. That would have been a lot of fun.
Who was more fun to drink with, Brad or John?
I didn't drink with Brad.
Brad,
I assume you're talking about Brad Paisley or John Party.
Yep.
I didn't drink with Brad, so I'd assume John. But Brad's a good hang, man. He's a really funny cat. He's got a good personality. It's not a coincidence he's been doing it for 20 something years.
Yeah. You know? What is it like touring and going on tours with like those guys and kind of, do you get like, is it stressful? Does it?
No, it's actually, I'm on tour with Jason Aldean. Now we play 6 songs.
Yeah.
You know, I play 25 minutes as a break. I mean, whereas, you know, usually you go in and you're eating, you know, whatever they can round up for you in the band and you're, you know, traveling all over the place and play 90 minutes. And this is like, you go in, they have catering. Mm-hmm. You know, Brad, they would have like lobster and stuff out there.
No,
you know?
Shit.
Oh yeah, man, catering was great on Brad's tour. But you play a few songs, you get to go watch some guys that you grew up watching. I mean, I went to see Jason Aldean in like 2008 in Birmingham. It was him, Luke Bryan, and Thompson Squared, and now I'm on tour with him.
That's, you know, badass.
But it's just great that to get in front of, dude, the numbers too, because I mean, we're playing in front of several thousand as opposed to a few thousand.
Not 80 million, but it's still quite a few.
It's not quite 80 million, but you know,
I mean, you'll get there. It took us almost a year to get this following.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Year of talking about The Bachelor.
Talking about The Bachelor and jerking off.
Perfect.
Having those a Bachelor.
I know the recipe. I need to write a song like that.
Yeah. Yeah. When you watch Bachelor Monday, jerk off on Tuesdays.
We haven't even been a full year yet.
April's a full year. All right. What else we got?
Can I ask one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Was there... No, I don't want to ask.
I thought that was that guy talking. I thought it was Justin B.
Was there any moments... Can you talk about any moments where you were like, I can't believe this is my life right now?
Several times, especially over the last couple of years. Playing the Grand Ole Opry was a big deal.
That's for me. Badass.
Playing the Ryman. My grandparents were there. I mean, that was the hugest deal in the world to them. You know, like I was not even remotely close to famous until I played the Opry. And then my grandparents were like, well, he's made it now, you know. But... award shows, ACM awards, like walking back there and meeting Tracy Lawrence, and I mean just running to Eric Church and people like that. It's weird that I'm thrown into a category with these people and they're doing the same thing that I am. When you go do these radio interviews and you walk in and you're sitting down talking to the same people Luke Bryan was just talking to, or this or that, it's pretty surreal, especially for me, because I'm not very far removed from just being a fan. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's rad. Where were you when you first heard Wish Grandpa's Never Died on the radio? I wish Grandpa's Never Died. Justin B, get it right.
I don't remember. I know where I was when I first heard there was this girl, because I was leaving Georgia. I was hunting, and I was coming up from South Georgia, and I heard it. One of those Atlanta stations played it. I don't remember where I was when I heard I Wish Grandpa's Never Died, but it was. I've heard it a lot. And that's one of those that probably means a little bit more than any of them, just because it's such a personal song to hear played on the radio and think that people are hearing it all over the place.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
We're going to take a moment and shout out the boys at Paint Your Life. I told you before, I got a portrait made of my pup Waffle. God bless her. We have a beautiful portrait sitting in the middle of the kitchen area. We actually have a light over it so it can kind of shine on her. But basically what Paint Your Life is professional hand-painted portraits created from any photo at a truly affordable price. So I basically sent in my photo of Waffle that we wanted. We went over to paintyourlife.com. They basically hand-paint these portraits that you send over, of the photo that you send over. You're able to choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. It's a very user-friendly platform that lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. Like I said, send any picture of yourself, your dog, your children, your family, a special moment, any of it, or combine photos in a one painting. It's a perfect birthday gift, anniversary, wedding gift, or just an awesome portrait of your favorite dog. Ours is Waffle. At paintyourlife.com, there is absolutely no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded. So there's nothing to lose here. You're either going to get a phenomenal photo or you're not going to like it, and you're going to get your money back guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. 20% off, free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word BOYS, B-O-Y-S, to 64,000. That's text the word BOYS to the number 64,000 on your phone. So you don't need a laptop, computer, any of it. Just pull out your phone and text BOYS to 64,000. Paint your life and celebrate the moments that matter the most. Who was your favorite NFL team and favorite players growing up?
That was Trent, the Cowboys. Owen, I was a Troy Aikman.
Original?
Hey, I was the same way. I was a Cowboys guy. Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Moose.
Deion.
Yeah, Deion Sanders.
Dude, they were
Charles Haley.
Man. That was
Travis Pastrana.
Yeah, you weren't a football guy growing up.
No, I never really watched football growing up.
I was. We were like that family. Like my dad, he was a huge Cowboys fan. When they would win the Super Bowl in like the 90s, he would like order the DVD or the movie the VHS set. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So you can kind of watch and recap the whole year. But oh yeah,
I had a Dallas Cowboys locker in my room, and I can remember like being old enough to where like that wasn't a piece of furniture that was acceptable. Me being like, I'm not getting rid of it. Like,
yeah, no question.
It's a place to keep my things.
Yeah, you know?
No doubt. To
keep my things.
No doubt.
That's awesome. Is that all we got?
That's it.
Jesus.
No more?
It's not very many questions.
We miss anything? I mean, dude, an hour 20, that's a solid.
It's a solid pod.
It's a solid piece.
You did a great job today.
It was easy, man.
Well, what'd you think? What was your thoughts coming into it, and what are your thoughts now?
I didn't think a lot about it coming in because I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Sure. Did you ever listen to Bustin' with the Boys before?
I've never listened to a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Well, you think you listened to this one?
I just did. It was great.
Fair enough.
Very entertaining.
It'd probably be like us. Like, it's not like we listen.
I don't like listening to our podcast.
I like hear my voice back.
I don't like hearing myself talk, sing, anything. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, I can see why this would be appealing.
You know? Did you search us before you came on?
Did you search us?
Damn, you just got hooked up and you're like, well, all right, let's go.
I don't like to know too much about stuff that I'm doing because like you go on a radio interview or something and somebody's doesn't play your song or it's this station and they didn't do this for me or whatever. I don't want to go in like disliking somebody. I mean, if I'd found out you had earrings and tattoos and JNCOs, I might not have liked you before I got here.
Yeah, fair enough.
I want to give everybody a clean
shot. I still have tattoos.
Give everybody a fair shot.
Give everybody a fair
shot. Hey, I'm definitely coming back on though just so I can just like dress like what I imagined you dress like at 100%. That time. I'm going to ride in on a motorcycle.
A moped.
Of course.
Yeah.
Is there another type?
Moped.
Is there another type?
I cannot wait to see you in those stupid JNCO. Was it JNCO pants?
It's going to get caught in the chain.
No they question.
Are. They used to get so torn up on the back because they just hang over your shoes.
You wore those, didn't you?
No.
Get the hell out of here. You know way too much about them.
Let me tell you this. There's a guy named Alex Ananko that lived down the street from me that wore JNCOs, and I thought it was the coolest shit ever. And I was like, I got to get some of those. And mom was like, no.
Mm-mm. Not happening.
She would let me wear Lee pipes. That was as
What's
wide as you.
Pipe?
You don't remember Lee pipes?
No.
No.
How old are you?
Okay. Yeah. I'm 31.
You're going to die soon. You're so old.
That's fair.
I'm 28 years old.
No, yeah, you're getting there, buddy.
Let's calm
Lee
down.
Pipes were like, because, you know, JNCOs were just popular because they're like this big around.
Yeah.
Lee pipes were like middle grade. Look.
Those are worse than JNCOs.
No, they're not.
Look, don't go to that third picture right there.
That's what JNCOs is. Lee pipes were trying to be like, so mom would let me get the ones that were in the middle.
Hey, those are bad.
Get the ones that are in the middle.
She wouldn't let me wear the JNCOs, man. They were outraged. You could put like a watermelon in your leg.
People are going to look at us 20 years from now and be like, people wore tight pants. Fucking
idiots. Oh, no doubt, man. No doubt.
I'm thinking bell bottoms are coming back. What do you think about that?
I'm not a fan. You know what I hated? The only trend girls wear that I absolutely hated was gauchos. You know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of gauchos.
They're like sort of look like tight pants, and then they just do this and go to about right here. Oh, my gosh. Against
those things right there?
Yes. Don't like that.
I was never a fan of... One thing I didn't like that girls wore jean skirts. It didn't do anything for me.
I don't. I mean, you talking about like the ones they wear really long when they got their hair in a ponytail?
The Pentecostal women? Yeah.
Yeah. That doesn't do that. Now, even the shorter ones, I wasn't a fan of. Jean skirts, they weren't
for
me.
What do you got, Harrison? What are you laughing at?
I'm glad that doesn't do anything for
me. Yeah, that's it.
Man. I tell you what, we're looking for our first repeat guest.
You want to come on tomorrow?
No, I got to fly out tomorrow.
He's got to fly out. He's going to what? San
Antonio? Hey, $26.99. Those pants are yours. You can relive the glory days.
They don't make my size, man.
What size waist are you?
32. I'm 32, 36.
Are you really? Good on you. Those pants are at 36.
Yeah.
You got half of your boots showing right there.
Let's go. I'm sitting down.
32, 36?
Yeah, man. Look.
I feel like I'm a...
How tall are you?
6'3", 6'4", somewhere in there.
God. I tell you what, a lot of times you look at celebrities and go, yeah, that guy's just, yeah, he's handsome, but he's just 5'11".
Right.
Just more.
The height.
Not Riley Green.
Yeah, he's a little guy. Huh?
Hey, not Riley Green.
He's some piss on him, too.
It's different around here.
It's different, man.
It's different around here. Where are you looking?
I'm looking at.
What are you looking at?
It's really different over there. That's where it's really different at.
Dude, Justin, when you met him, obviously, is he?
Justin's great.
His little, I could kick your ass.
Is that not a funny song for a man of his size?
Well, I never knew. I didn't know he was that short at first. I'll listen to it, and I was like, if I ever played baseball, that'd be my walk-up
Justin
song.
Moore, by the way. Justin Moore.
Justin Moore.
Listening.
And then I saw a picture of him standing next to somebody, and he is, well, he's got to be 5'6".
I don't
want to. Google says 5'7".
Google helps out with an inch or two.
You don't want to do what?
I don't want to put a number on it because I'm not good at guessing below 6 foot.
Look at that. Go that picture right there. No. One over. That one. Who's he with in that picture?
Luke Bryan.
Is Luke tall?
He's probably nearly my height. I've got a picture of Justin from when I met him at a show like 6 years ago, and he's
6 foot. And in that other picture, he's kneeling down.
Dude, it was Kenny Chesney that threw me off.
You think he was too short?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I don't like throwing shade at celebrities.
Harrison. Nah, man, me neither.
I'll tell you what, Kenny kills that beach bomb. Oh, he's 5'6", too.
5'6".
I didn't think he was that short.
Back to ankles.
He's not tall.
Back to ankles.
Kenny's got that perfect country beach vibe deal going on. I love it. Him and Uncle Cracker.
Oh, for sure.
They're killing it. Cut off shirt.
Hey, Harrison, anything we're missing that we need to shout out in the future?
I want to see you have this picture of you and
Go follow, download. What are we doing? We got to get the boys' stuff out there.
There's me and Corey from a few years ago. Bearded boys.
He bearded.
Dude, he's bearded a stud, boys. Man.
I tell you what, you need, before you leave tomorrow, you need to go shave that mustache back in.
It's me and Justin.
Yeah, you look a little on the hefty side in that picture, bud.
Nah, man, I wasn't.
That's a couple goo goo clusters too many.
Man, I just had that big old shirt. That's
a big shirt. Yeah, I'm sure.
That's when you wear the big shirt and you're kind of just wondering, and then they, you know, take it off at the pool and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, I didn't good
know
for him.
I was jacked.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's what they say.
What is your Instagram?
Riley Duckman.
Riley Duckman. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't make that up.
Hey, be more country.
Riley Dirt Road.
Riley Dirt Road Duckman. Follow him on Instagram. He's got Riley too Duckman. Many followers, dude.
Here you go, man.
Yeah, underscore.
Smurl Baron.
Oh, that thing's badass.
Yeah, that's sick.
God, so that's y'all awesome. Need that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Pull the bus with it.
I want to get, probably could. This bus is heavy.
It is. And it's not running for heavy, a while. Dude.
We want to get the same running at one point, but it was like 77 grand.
Yeah,
I'm out on that, man.
Yeah. You bought how many, all the cars you said you bought in this damn podcast, how many, you got like 17 cars and half of them work.
It's fair. At least half of them.
At least half of them.
At least half.
That's a good average.
Yeah.
You get this bus running?
No, I'm not a car guy.
Okay.
I just like them.
Yeah.
If something breaks on it, I'm just like, oh, I got to take it somewhere.
I'm the same way. I'm not handy for anything.
I thought you were like a motorcycle guy.
I'm a huge motorcycle guy and I ride them until they stop.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, and then it's over, and I'm like, oh, well, someone better fix this.
I guess I'll be on a skateboard.
Yep. I used to ride skateboards.
I know. You didn't have to tell me that.
Oh, my God.
Hey, he's got some good banter.
He got some banter from Alabama. When did you start chewing tobacco? When you were 6?
I was probably 12, 11 or 12.
When you had your first chew, you threw up everywhere?
I don't remember if I threw up, but I remember feeling like I wanted to. And still, my dad did Skoal Original Wintergreen fine cut, and that would make me sick right now.
Yeah?
Because that was the one, you know?
Oh, this is one bad kid named Waylon. I grew up on a ranch, and there's this really shitty house in the middle. That's where the manager lived. That's where my mom was a manager. But these, like, double wides were all around it, and Waylon lived in one of the double wides. And he stole a can off his dad, and it was Copenhagen straight long cut. And he would ball it up. He had braces, and we'd do it. And then I smoked weed with him for the first time. And I did that, and I threw up everywhere. I was sick for 2 weeks. Didn't start chewing again until I got the NFL. Then I quit. And now I'm here.
Here we are.
And here's the story. And I found $5.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Shout out to people that lose money on the street.
All right, get off our bus.
Hey, Riley Green Music on Twitter. Instagram, Riley Duckman. Also underscore Willcomber. Guys, gals, people of all ages, appreciate you so much for tuning in to another episode of Bussin' with the Boys. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to the episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever platform you're on. We're on there. We have a YouTube channel, Bussin' with the Boys. We would love if you subscribe there as well. If you are subscribed and you want to be more for the boys, unsubscribe and resubscribe again. It sounds funny and stupid and kind of obnoxious, but all of your subscriptions and resubscribing and stuff, it helps in these little algorithm games for climbing charts. Because again, we are very organic. You guys, where we're at is because of you guys. So we like to keep it fucking organic and just from us, dude. Us versus the world. But we really do. We really appreciate your guys' support. A few of you had questions about merchandise. You can go. Our merchandise store is on barstoolsports.com. go over to shop, and we are under the brand Bustin' with the Boys. You can find all of our gear there. We restock constantly now. If you guys have any ideas, shout us out. If you guys buy the gear, shout us out. We really do love when you guys talk back to us, add us, mention us, put us on your stories, tag us, all that fun stuff. We like grabbing that stuff and putting it on our YouTube episodes. And again, we just love it, man. We love you guys. We appreciate you so much. Keep being for the fucking boys. Keep being a wolf. The biggest of hugs and the tiniest of kisses. We love you. We appreciate you. Tune in next week for another episode of Bustin' with the Boys. The judge stops by from time to time. Says he loves the way.